So if ever there was a prophet for our modern day times, Jeremiah is your prophet. I don't know how many of you have opened the book of Jeremiah and read some of it, but if you do, Jeremiah's voice sounds a lot like those talking heads that you watch on the news, depending on what your favorite channel is. We won't get into that this morning, but he has almost a scathing and very blunt words for the nation of Israel. What's caused the downfall and their being conquered by the Babylonians. And Jeremiah is especially critical and kind of saves his harshest commentary for the political leaders of Israel, their kings, from their immorality, their poor choices, their turning from God, their idolatry, and their poor political decisions. That's what's led to their downfall. And the book is really focused around this idea that through the Babylonians, God has sort of turned God's back on the people and given them to these rulers. But Jeremiah is different from those talking heads on TV in that Jeremiah also offers the words of consolation and hope for the nation of Israel, for God's people. And that's what we get this morning in our passage. Jeremiah reminds the people of Israel of God's enduring promise that there will be another king to come, a king in the line of David. There will never lack a man to sit on that throne to raise the people up and restore a sense of justice and righteousness. And those are indeed comforting and hopeful words this morning. As we sit here this morning, a few miles from the capital, our nation's leader, perhaps those are, again, those words of comfort and hope that in some way, shape, or form, God will raise up, even in our own time, a man or a woman who will bring a sense of justice and righteousness and peace and love and harmony that our world and our nation so desperately needs. But as I think about that this morning, I wonder if perhaps we place a little too much hope in that promise. Yesterday I was having breakfast with someone I had ministered to briefly when I was deployed overseas last year. And we were just kind of catching up on life, and then he kind of sprung the real topic that he wanted to talk about, and he was having this kind of, not really a crisis, but kind of like a moment of clarity in his spirituality. And what he told me was is that he was having this like conversation with God. And he's like, I'm not hearing voices, so just he's like, just to kind of calm you from that. But he goes, I am having conversations in my prayers. They're not just kind of simple prayers of request or wish that this would happen, but I'm actually having conversations. And he said, believe it or not, God is actually conversing back with me, raising questions, bringing insights, and all of that compelling me to some sort of action, something really big that he wanted to do with his life. I know that sounds far-fetched, but what if it were true? I think in our modern day age today, the idea of divine intervention, or what we might call God's holy mystery, the idea that God directly speaks to all of us and to people today, it seems just kind of far-fetched. It's not really scientifically possible, or at least logical or rational. And so the best that we can muster, and this isn't necessarily wrong, is that God simply works through other people. People like you and I, people, nations, leaders, prominent people doing God's work of justice and healing and reconciliation in the world. All good things, but it's the best that we can muster. And we place our hope there. The only challenge with that, though, is that we don't really know how that'll turn out. So we might place our hope in a person, but at the end of the day, it's just simply this hope that through them, God might work. And sometimes that doesn't always work. And then we turn to Advent this morning, this being the first Sunday of Advent and talking about hope, the theme of hope. I think we do the same thing with Advent as well, too. We talk about this story of how Jesus came to be with us in this very intimate and powerful way through the baby and the birth of Jesus Christ. But I think for a lot of us, it's just simply a story. It's a story that we remember and we talk about this longing and hope and peace and joy and love, but again, we go looking for it in other things in the world. We don't really have any hope or longing that the things we really need from God God will actually directly speak and act in our lives. This past week, I drove down to Virginia Beach for a memorial service. A good friend of mine had passed away suddenly. She was only about in her early 60s, and she was perfectly fine, healthy. One of those sudden things that happened. She was living what I would say would, her best life as a mother and as a wife, as a friend to so many different people, and as a grandmother, recent grandmother. And so it was a sad moment, but it was one of those that I just kind of felt like I needed to be there for. Now, rational thought would tell you, driving 8 hours to go to a 90-minute memorial service doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And honestly, no one would have blamed me had I not made the trip. No one probably would have said, well, where was Aaron? Why wasn't he here? I don't think I would have felt really thinking about it guilty had I not gone, because I think, again, I would have, it's an 8-hour drive. But I will tell you, in the moments leading up to that decision to drive down to Virginia Beach on Monday, I felt compelled. Maybe it was a force. Maybe it was a sense of things. Maybe it was a presence. Whatever it was compelling me to drive down to Virginia Beach to be at this memorial service. Not so much to be there to support the family, to support Deb's friends, but simply because, you know what? I needed to be there. I needed to be there. I needed to be there to say goodbye to my dear friend. And I needed to be amongst those that were doing the same thing. And I needed to be amongst people sitting in that sanctuary wondering where God was in that moment and needing to be held by God's love, just as we know and we trust and we say that God now rests in God's eternal love and embrace. As we think about Advent and Advent hope, I turn to the last piece of the last verse of our passage, where Jeremiah proclaims, "And the Levitical priest shall never lack for a man to offer burnt offerings, grain offerings, and prayers." And what I think Jeremiah is saying there is that things like justice and righteousness and peace and love and harmony and all those things that we hope for and long for, they don't just come through the worldly, the things of this world. They do come directly from God. They come when we sit in worship and listen to God's word, heard in story and in song, and maybe from the words of a pastor. We come to experience God directly around the table and receiving the sacrament of communion. We receive and experience God directly in our prayers that we raise up in these spaces, or perhaps privately in our own homes, or even in our workplaces, in those moments that we do get. My hope for you this Advent is that you don't just experience and long for hope that comes through others, but rather that God comes to you in this most intimate way today, just as God came into the world through the birth of Christ so long ago. Because that is Advent hope. Trusting and hoping and longing that God will come and speak to us directly and compel us. Maybe it's just a sense of things. But again, it's an Advent hope that we long for and perhaps need in the world today. Amen.